have experienced the goodness of God in this place, why don't you give him some praise right now? If you witness God just doing all that he can to bless us. Thank you so much, praise team, musicians, media ministry, all of you. For this indeed is the day the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. And truly, God has blessed us. Wasn't it such a blessing to see so many young people give their lives to Christ, and we celebrate that in their baptism? Just God is doing some amazing things among us. And it reminds us that God is a faithful God. He is faithful to us. And as we reflect on his promises, we learn more and more of his faithfulness, that we can grow in our confidence in God because God is true to his word. We're going to look at a promise, as was stated earlier, in Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40 is where our message for the morning is coming from. This may be a familiar passage of scripture for some of us here, but I pray that the Lord will speak to us in a fresh way as we look at his word together. We're going to begin reading at the 28th verse, Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 28. The prophet writes, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." I do hope that you heard the promise in that text. It's right there in the 31st verse. It says, "But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Did you not hear the good news? I think I know what's wrong. You heard that word, right? That word, wait. And I know. I'm looking at you because the reality is only a few of us in here enjoy waiting. In fact, our culture has so conditioned us to be intolerant to waiting that we got Amazon Prime and we got next day shipping, no, same day shipping. In fact, some of us right now, if you're honest, you are checking your cell phone out just to see whether or not your package made it. Fast food industries, all this has created such an insatiable appetite for the right now, immediately, I want it right now. In fact, the only time we are okay with waiting is when we want someone to wait for us. And yet, God uses the discipline of waiting in the life of the believer because in between the promise and the performance of the promise, God is preparing you. Look at the text. For this text is written to God's people. And God's people in the text, really, there's a cathartic shift here because from chapters 1 to 39, they had fallen into sin. And now as a consequence of their sin, they find themselves in a challenging position. And now they believe that God is distant. They believe that God doesn't see what's happening in their lives. They feel like they're alone. Have you ever been there before? Have you felt like God was distant? Have you ever been in God's waiting room where you're waiting for God to come and waiting for God to perform, and yet God in his sovereignty keeps you there? There's a reason for that. You see, one of the reasons why God makes us wait is because God is working on us before he's working out our situation for us. Come on here. Because here they're waiting. And God now sends a comforting word. That's how chapter 40 begins. "Would comfort my people with these words." God sends a comforting word to his people to let them know that he is still God and he's still in control. Which reminds us, It doesn't matter what's happening in your life. Whenever you find yourself in the waiting room of God, you have to remind yourself that God is a faithful God, and he's always been faithful, and his timing is designed to teach us how to trust him more. This is where they are as they are waiting. And notice the words of the prophet. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard that God is the everlasting God? Everlasting God. That reminds us that God's presence is always with us. He is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Look at it. That he says, listen, when you are waiting on God to perform, when you're waiting on God to deliver, remind yourself who God is. Because when you remind yourself of who God is, you realize that our God is the everlasting God. Am I the only one excited about that? Because that means then that our God has always been and he always will be. He is the everlasting God. It also tells us then that no matter where you are, God is present with you. He's the creator of the ends of the earth, which means then that everything under God's creation is also under his sovereignty. That means God is in control. In fact, nothing catches God by surprise. God is not surprised by the circumstances of our lives. No, because he's the creator of the ends of the earth, which means he sees exactly where you are. He knows where you are. He knows the condition of your life. He knows the circumstances of life. And in the midst of those circumstances, on this Father's Day, he wants us to learn how to trust him even more. There was a father who was making his way through the airport. He was rushing, trying to get to his flight because he didn't have TSA pre-check on his ticket. And so he was rushing. And as he was making his way to the gate, he bumped into a uniformed attendant, a uniformed employee that was there in the airport. Stephen, you should have saw it. He bumped into him. And as he was making his way there, the uniformed attendant said, what's your hurry? He said, I'm trying to catch my flight. I don't want to miss my flight. He said, well, what's your flight number? He gave his flight number, and then that uniformed employee said, well, you don't have to rush, because I'm the pilot of that flight. I'm trying to help you understand something. God is the pilot of your life, and understand that even though, and my grandmother said it this way, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. You can trust his timing. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. But look. The text also reminds us as we make our way to the promise, it tells us that something that God doesn't do. There's actually some things that God does not do. It's right there in the text, if you didn't close your Bibles. This is right there in verse 28. He does not grow faint. He does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. That God doesn't get tired. And God doesn't grow weary. Now, I know you take your vitamins, and I know if you're anything like me, you drunk a whole lot of coffee, but the reality is we get tired. We grow weary, but the God we serve, he doesn't grow weary. He doesn't get tired, and this is good news because it also tells us that God never gets weary with you. There are some people who you may not like to hang around with all the time. Don't look at anybody right now, okay? Just look at me. That there's some people, you get tired of them talking. Not the pastor, I hope, but you know. But notice how God doesn't get tired of you. He doesn't grow weary. He doesn't grow faint, which means then that not only is he always present, but you see that he's all powerful. But then he says, but his knowledge, his wisdom, his understanding is unsearchable. And this is where we are in the waiting room, right? Because there are times God will allow us to be in the waiting room and he doesn't explain everything to us. But he doesn't have to. Because if he understood everything about God, that would make us God. No, he says his understanding is unsearchable. What I love about this promise is that our understanding is not a prerequisite to our trust. See, all of us are not mechanically inclined. But when you get in your vehicle, you trust it's going to get you where you're going to go. All of us are not medically inclined. But when you take that medication, you trust it's going to do what the doctor said it was going to do. Come here for a moment. God's word is the medicine for your soul, and you can trust that it will do what he says it's going to do, because God is a promise keeper, and he keeps every one of his promises. His promises are yes and amen, and I'm so glad that he keeps it, because he says all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purposes. He is a faithful God. So what do we do then in the waiting time, in the meantime? You have to acknowledge the sovereignty of God. You have to acknowledge the sovereignty of God, and you have to rest in his presence. I have a confession to make. I know my wife doesn't look like it, but we're grandparents now. Yeah, pray for us. Just pray. Now, I'm a grandfather. I'm not a grandpa. Just trying to get some swag on that thing. I'm just saying. And I find myself trying to coach my son on this Father's Day how to be a father. And he and I were discussing it one day. He's not in here, so I can talk about him. And so he was leaving the room, and he said, "Daddy, every time I leave the room, she starts crying." I said, "Well, son, babies cry for a reason. It's the only way they communicate." He says, "But every single time I leave the room, she starts crying." Chris, the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder in that moment, and he says, "When you start your journey with me, when you start your journey with Christ, every now and then he made the demonstrative move so you could see him at work." Right? But as you develop in a relationship, as children grow, they develop what is called object permanence, meaning then that they understand that even though I don't see something, it doesn't mean that it ceased to exist. What I'm trying to get you to understand is sometimes God wants to grow you in your faith. So every now and then, you may not see him at work, but it doesn't mean he is not at work, because God's silence is not God's absence. He is always there. Like David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because thou art with me. And God wants to grow us, develop us to a place where we can trust him even when we can't feel him. You gotta faith it until you feel it. You have to have faith that God, if he's done it before, he's gonna do it again. And this is what he's reminding the people of God. He's saying, remember who your God is and remember what your God has done. It is that we ought to wait on God. Why? Because verse 29 says, he gives power to the faint. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. I love this, because God's expectation for your strength is not predicated on your ability. It's predicated on his. And when you are tired, go to God. When you find yourself getting weary, go to God. Because God knows exactly what you need, and he is present to help you make it through what you're going through. See, waiting on God means I'm learning to be dependent upon him. It means I'm willing to let God have his way in my life. And he says there's a blessing to those who wait. There's a blessing to those who trust God enough to not put our hands on it, but wait for him. And the blessing is that you have God right with you. Now, last time I was at Jersey Village was just after the high school graduation of my daughter. My favorite daughter is, she is my favorite daughter. But when we came here 11 years ago, she was a little girl, but she graduated from high school, Debbie. You were at a high school graduation, and y'all, I'm feeling a certain way about that, right? My youngest child has just graduated from high school. She calls me on the phone. Said, "Dad, it's time for me to get my license." I said, "Man, that means my insurance is going to go up." So I started teaching her how to drive. And teaching her how to drive, you have to understand, this is a prayer request, okay? This is my prayer request to you, okay? I was teaching her how to drive, but in my vehicle, there's no brake pedal in the passenger side. And so if you ever want to increase your prayer life, teach a child how to drive. Yeah. But but I also wanted her to be independent. So I said, dear heart, I want you to know where you are at all times. When you're driving, you need to know what direction you're headed in. You need to know what road you're on. You need to know where you're going at all times. And so I told her, I said, pull on the side of the road, babe. Pull on the side of the road. She pulled on the side of the road, Pat. I said, now, where are you? She says, I don't know. Now, in the vehicle, there's a compass, and it says you're traveling north. So I said, but baby, look around. Where are you? What do you see? She said, Daddy, I don't know. I said, you got Google Maps, you got all this stuff. Look, pay attention, look around. She said, Daddy, I don't have to know because you know where I'm going. I'm trying to help y'all understand something. We have a Heavenly Father who knows where we're going. He knows where He wants to take you. And what He wants to get us to do is to grow enough in our relationship with Him that we trust Him. Even though we don't have all the answers, we know that He has all the answers, and you can trust Him at His word. He gives power to the faint. And those who have no might, He increases strength. Notice how He contrasts our human frailty with God's omnipotent power. He says, listen, I know you'll grow weak, but I'm always strong. Emory, he actually says to those who have no might, I will increase them. But look at verse further, in verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Which means then that God knows that we have limitations. I know some of us have this Superman complex, but even Superman had kryptonite. We all have limitations. But our God is limitless. And when you go to Him, He's able to give you what you need in order to make it through this season of your life. You can trust God in this season because God knows exactly what He is doing. C.S. Lewis said it this way. He said, he who has God and everything else has no more than he who has God only. Because when you have God, you have everything you need. And He wants us to learn how to trust Him. Trust Him with that relationship. Don't give up on it. Trust Him with that child. Trust Him. Because one of the realities is if God can save you, if God can save me, then He can save that child that has gone far away from Him. God can save lives. In fact, we saw it today, that God can transform lives. And so all we must do is learn to trust Him. That's really it. Because the promise is there. The promise is for those who wait on God. Look at verse 31. But they who wait upon the Lord, He shall renew their strength. God works for those who wait. Notice, this is an exclusive group in the text. This doesn't apply to everyone. This promise applies to those who are willing to trust in Him. Pastor, you don't know how long I've been waiting for God to move. I've been waiting. But notice, when God moves, it's always on time. Somebody may be a witness for that because I got my own. I brought it there in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will tell you that God didn't show up when they were before the king. God didn't show up when they were tied up. God didn't show up when they were marching to the fiery furnace. But when they fell into the fire, they realized that God showed up in the fire. Grandma says it like that, that He's always going to be there. He doesn't operate on your time. He's never in a hurry because God made time. He don't have to be in a hurry, but He's always faithful to be there with you when you need Him. This is where we are because those, even though the youth will faint, if you wait on God, if you trust God, if you're in a posture of awaiting in expectation that God is going to come through, God will show up, you'll be in a process in that moment where you are growing in your relationship with God while you're waiting on God. See, this is where God wants us. He wants us in a posture of perpetual growth, that we're learning to depend on God. And one of the ways you're able to do that is to reflect on what God has already done. If God has healed your body, when you get sick again, you can look back and say, if God healed me of that, God can heal me of this. If God delivered you from time past, then you can look now and say, you know, if God delivered me last year, God can deliver me in this year. That there's nothing too hard for God, but every now and then, you got to look back and see what he's already done. Has God blessed anybody in this place? Has God delivered anybody in this place? Has God given you strength when you were about to give up? Trust God, because his track record is already good. He says, those who wait upon the Lord, he will give you strength afresh. He'll give you strength anew. They will mount up on wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Check it out. He says, if you wait on God, God will give you experiences that you haven't had before. If you wait on God, God will give you all that you expect, the great expectations of your life. Now, I told you all I'm in a season of life, and I asked you to pray for me because we're in a different season now. I thought I was looking forward to all the kids going. You know, I got three boys and a girl. Now they're all adulting. But I told the girl, you can always come back home. The boys, y'all can go. And so I'm in a different season. I saw my baby, she graduated, like I told you earlier. But God spoke to me because there we were in NRG Stadium. We were in the NRG Stadium checking out the graduation. Now, truly, I support everybody. But there was only one graduate I was really there to support. Don't judge me. I'm just telling you. And there we are in the NRG Stadium. It began storming on the outside. It was storming so much on the outside that you could hear the storm over the speakers. As they were speaking, you could hear the storm descending. But all of a sudden, the storm that was on the outside started coming on the inside. And it was dripping rain in the NRG. Don't y'all try to sue me. This is what happened, okay? In the NRG Stadium. And guess what? We just sat there. It was storming. It was raining. It was raining on us. But we just sat there. We sat there because something greater than the storm for us was about to happen. I'm trying to help you understand something, that you may be in a storm right now, but when you wait on God, something greater than the storm is going to happen. You have to trust God. I'm going to text y'all because it says you'll mount up on wings as an eagle. That is actually reflecting on the Exodus journey. For in Exodus 19 and 4, God said, you yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Don't miss this. The God says, when you wait on me, I'm gonna bring you to myself. There's some things that you'll learn about my character that you didn't know before if you learn how to wait on me. There's some things you'll grow in your life. You'll grow in your ability to trust and to pray when you wait on him. He says, you'll mount up on wings as eagles. But then he says, you'll run and not be weary. Hold on now. The only way for me to run and not be weary, I have to stay intimately connected to the God who is my strength. And God wants us to stay connected, stay grounded, stay prayerful, stay in your word. Even if you don't see it yet, believe it until you see it. Somebody told me, they said, seeing is believing. And they flipped it and said, no, believing is seeing. That I believe what God said and I know it's going to come to pass because every word that God has stated always comes to pass. He says, you'll run and not be weary. And then he says, you'll walk and not faint. You'll walk. And this speaks to an intimate relationship with God that every day is sweeter than the day before. That my prayer life is getting stronger as I'm waiting. That my trust is getting stronger as I'm waiting. Because as I'm waiting, I am confident that God is working. Why? Because it takes faith to wait. And as you're waiting, reflect on God's sovereignty. As you are waiting, rest in God's presence. As you are waiting, focus on God's promises, because God is always true to his word. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait, I say, for the Lord. Psalm 41, I waited patiently for the Lord. I love this one. And he inclined his ear to me. That means the God of the universe, when you're waiting on him, he leans in your direction and he attends to your need. He says, wait on the Lord. Because when you wait on him, you discover that God was working on you the whole time while you were waiting. And your relationship with him will go to depths it has never been before. But you have to be willing to trust God as you wait. Why should you wait on him? Because God has been waiting on you. He's been waiting on you to give up the reins and let him take control. He's been waiting on you to cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. God is waiting on you to get closer to him so that even when your circumstances don't change, God changes you in your circumstances, that you learn to trust him even more. And some of us in here right now, we came in here with prayer requests that we've been waiting on, been waiting for God to move. And God is challenging us to not give up while you wait. Don't give up on that relationship. Don't give up on that career. Don't give up on that child. Don't give up on that family member. Don't give up. Trust God, because he still transforms lives to those who place their trust in him. He said, young men will faint. They'll grow weak. But they that wait upon the Lord, he will renew your strength. He will mount you up on wings as eagles. He will make it so that you run, you not grow weary, you walk, and you not faint. Will you trust him enough to wait for him?
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Force, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our 3 locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforest.org. We'll see you very soon.